Hi, welcome to episode 33 of Running Partners with me, Paul.
And me, Alison.
So today we're going to talk about a few different things, but I think the main topic is probably going to be about summer running, motivation, how to keep going over a period when there tends to be fewer big races, doesn't there? So we're going to just talk about some of the things we've read about, some of the things we do, just to kind of keep that motivation, and also some of the opportunities summer provides in terms of running as well.
Yeah, be good.
Well, so before that, we'll do our usual our running of the week and listener shout outs and races. So do you want to start with those first?
Yeah, sure. So we had some feedback from last week's episode, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. What was that?
So people enjoyed the interview with John Taft,
yes.
Didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
yeah.
Andy got in touch, didn't he, to say that he enjoyed the interview, but also he'd got a copy of the
magazine. Yeah.
So thanks for getting in touch, yeah. Andy. And then Carla got in touch. Obviously, we mentioned Carla last week, and she's got in touch to let us know that she is back on her feet and she's done a walk this morning, I think. So she's not back to running yet. She had an injury. So I'm sure there's lots of people out there that are in the same predicament as Carla, and it's just kind of nice to know that you do get back on your feet, don't you? And you build it up.
Yeah.
Start with a bit of walking.
Then it could be run. Walking's a good one, Carla, if you're listening. So like 1 minute running, 1 minute walking, even a few minutes of that, and then start to build it up from there.
Yeah, and then you can kind of have new challenges, can't you?
Yeah.
Posting injury
can be an
challenges.
Time,
yeah, it can be.
And particularly if you're overcoming a frustrating time of being out and not running at all for a period of time.
Yeah. So, and the other thing that I wanted to mention that we have had a bit of feedback about was the dog story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dog incident that I overheard about. And we've had a unanimous response that it's the dog owner's responsibility, and that the runner,
and that is from not just from runners who like me who are scared of dogs. This is from actual runners who
are dog owners. A unanimous response
from
two people,
who own dogs.
One owns a dog.
So 50% of respondees own a dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
One response, I'll keep them anonymous, but was that your dogs are a menace and they should be banned.
Yeah.
But I think that's from someone we know that doesn't really like dogs. And then the other was from Rachel, who owns a dog.
So you're not keeping her anonymous?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Because she didn't say ban dogs.
It could be called Rachel. That could be a made-up name. And Rachel has got a dog.
She's got a dog, and she just got in touch to say that, you know, she's had different dogs over the years. Yeah, she was just saying that it's her view that the responsibility is of the dog owner to keep the dog under control.
Yeah.
So when she walks her dog, she always like makes the dog like come to a heel whenever there's any runners about, and she does the same for cyclists and horse riders.
And I have seen a lot of people do that.
Yeah,
we
there
talked
are.
About it briefly.
There are a lot of responsible people with dogs, aren't
giving
they?
Giving the dog a doggy treat.
Yeah, and also, you know, you've got to be responsible with your running, haven't you? And kind of give people the space and not get too close to people on narrow paths and things like that. But a lot of the time, you know, it's fine, isn't it? So,
yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
so, but she says she herself has had close encounters with dogs, even as a dog owner, and liking dogs and being used to dogs and things. But, you know, that sometimes dogs can be naughty, can't they?
Interesting.
Yeah.
This isn't dog related, but it just made me think of something my friend Mark told me this week. I'm going running with Mark over the weekend, I think I mentioned before, helping him with the second half of his 110 mile epic Hard Moors run. But he did a 40-mile race a couple of weeks ago as part of his training for the 110-miler. And he was running through a field and he sort of caught up to a lady who was in front of him and they were sort of going through this field together. He said a load of cows ran towards them. And he said he reckoned it was about 50 metres to the stile to get into the next field out the way. So he said, like, oh, shall we just go for it? She said, no, it's like stand still and wait and sort of not trying to alarm the cows. They said they were young cows, and they kind of said they ran towards them and then at the last minute sort of like turned away. So I think kind of they must have spooked them a little bit, but then perhaps because they didn't seem that there's a threat, they ran towards them. I know, and I was like,
risky business,
I said, I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? If you're on your own, you can make your own decision, can't you? No problem.
Yeah.
I suppose a circumstance like that, someone says with some authority, what we need to do is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could Mark have just run off and done his own thing anyway?
Yeah.
It would have been very awkward, particularly if the lady had then got kind of
trampled
by the cows. He'd have felt bad about it. But maybe cows is a different episode. I'm sure loads of... If people have got cow stories, let us know.
I'm sure there's many of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit human nature, I think, isn't it? To
be scared if someone's running at you or something.
No, don't... Like, in any sort of situation, even if it's quite dangerous, if someone tells you to do something else, even if it's not what you were planning to do, you've got it. I think people generally have a tendency to go follow, don't they?
Yeah, so who are the people who are doing... Is it a small proportion of people who are telling the rest of us to, like, do this and do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely a follower in that scenario.
Yeah. But I think afterwards you think, why didn't I just do what
do
I wanted
my own
to do?
Thing. Yeah.
But I just felt like sort of a weight of sort of, you know, like, what? I don't know, some sort of embarrassment if I was to, like, then say, no, actually, no, I don't agree with you.
So at least you got trampled by a cow, but at least you didn't...
You were polite.
You were polite. That's the main thing. So, but
maybe it's
now
a British thing.
Now he's told me that story, I know what his inclination is, and it's the same as mine. So if we're in this situation... over Saturday night into Sunday morning. I've done that race before. I don't think there's loads of cow fields, but there's one or two.
There was some sheep, I recall.
Yeah.
And I did it with you. They're
I
nice.
I think they were quite safe.
Yeah.
But so I know Mark can run. Although, having said that, if he's already covered like 70 miles, a sprint towards a stile, it might be kind of more like a slow shuffle.
Yeah, he might sort of set off for a sprint and not
move.
Yeah,
not make it. Brilliant. Okay, so... do you have any others, or do you want to go into your running of the week?
Yeah, so I was going to mention Rother Valley Relays.
Oh, yeah, race results,
part
of
course.
Yeah.
My running of the week, because I was doing Rother Valley Relays on Tuesday, so I didn't run on Monday. It was over the weekend. It's quite warm, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
You know, and I went for a run on Sunday, and I was so tired. It was just, I think I'm not really used to the warm weather, so it just made my legs feel really heavy. So I thought, well, I'll have a day off on Monday, so I'm as fresh as possible for the relay race. So Tuesday was my first running of the week, so it was the Rother Valley Relay. So Rother Valley is it in Rotherham?
Yeah, Country Park, yeah, in Rotherham.
Yeah,
in
I don't
South
know if
Yorkshire.
It was just between Sheffield and Rotherham and in somewhere else. But
so it's big lake, isn't it?
And yeah, it's man-made, isn't it?
People
sort of...
do water sports, don't they, on the lake? You can cycle around it, run around it.
There's a park run there.
Yeah, children's playground, cafe, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and it's not too far sort of away from the M1, so it's the sort of place you can get to quite easily.
And these relays attract people from all over...
South Yorkshire,
South Yorkshire
and North Derbyshire.
Yeah, so reasonable kind of catchment area, isn't it, for people who come and do it. So what's describe the event then, in terms of distance and numbers and... people in the teams?
Yeah, so it's, as I said, it's a relay race and each person does 5k. A couple of years ago it wasn't quite 5k because the loop of the lake is about 3 miles,
so
which
less.
Is yeah, yeah, point one less than 5k, isn't it? Point one of a mile. So I'm mixing up my miles and my kilometers. But Andy, that leads our running club, it's his sort of event that he organizes for our running club and all the other running clubs that take part. So he's added a little extra bit in where you run up sort of this path that goes off to the left near the end, which is, at the time, it's, you know, you've run nearly 3 miles, you just want to run straight to the end, but you have to turn left and do this little loop. But it's worth it in the end because then you've got a 5k time that you can kind of compare to other 5ks and park runs and things like that. See how, if you're improving or not, or whatever. So there's three people in the women's team, So A, B and C leg runners. And in the men's teams, there's four people in the teams. So I think that's kind of so that we finish.
A timing thing, is it?
Yeah, around about the same time. Although I think the winning women's team were faster than like the vast majority of the men's teams. Of the three legs, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
They finished.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Way in front, yeah. So that's kind of the structure of it. So there's lots of teams all from over South Yorkshire, and I think there were about 263 teams, might be slightly wrong there, but roughly that many teams that took part. So there's a lot of people there, obviously, times by
three or four.
Yeah. So a lot of people hanging around. So it's a really good, it's a nice atmosphere. It's a nice thing to do on a Tuesday night, kind of. And it always seems to be sunny. It rained all day, hadn't it, on Tuesday? And then it was like quite sunny in the evening. So it's really good fun. See lots of people from other running clubs that don't see that often. And so it's really good. So the winners, the men's team winners were Hallamshire Harriers, and also the women's team winners were Hallamshire Harriers. And our team did well. I was with Karen and Claire, and my time was 22:09, which I thought was faster than I'd done last year, but on Strava I don't think it was, but I think on the results it was. So there's a bit of, because there's timing, Matt, it depends on when you cross that as to when, so it's the baton that crosses the line. Yeah. So that's how it's, so I think there's a slight difference, but I'm kind of pleased with that, because since like about 2017, whenever I've tried to run fast 5K, it's always been within about 10 seconds of that. So I think my best is like 21:57 or something.
Yeah.
And it's always around that. So I don't...
Do you think you're kind of as fit as you've ever been? Or well,
well, yeah, about around about. It'd be nice one day to maybe try and train for a 5K, because I don't really do 5Ks. So it'd be interesting to see if I could get any quicker than that.
Yeah,
because I've done a 10k that's sort of the same pace as that,
43:59. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, your 10k and your 5k paces are matched.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting, but yeah, so that was good. And cool. I saw quite a few people, like I say, and I saw Lizzie that said hello to me. I'd not met Lizzie in person before, but she's been listening to the podcast, and it was really nice for her to come and say hello and just say she's really enjoying the podcast and stuff. So thanks for that.
Thanks, Lizzie. It's really nice
to hear that, and nice to hear that people are enjoying it and stuff, and that they want us to carry on and we're not too boring, I suppose. And then I met your new athlete.
Oh yeah, James.
Is he new?
Probably about a month.
Yeah.
4 or 5 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I met James. That was nice to meet him. And so do you want to say a little bit about what James did?
Yes, I think I mentioned he'd done a 10K a couple of weeks ago, and he's doing a half marathon this weekend at Eam, which is really hilly course, actually, so it'll be a challenge. It'll be good to see how he gets on there, and he's in good shape, been doing some really good training. So he did a PB for 5K. I think it was just slightly over 20 minutes and like 15, 16 seconds, something like that. So I wasn't surprised, because I've kind of seen the times he's been doing in training. So good stuff, James. Keep going.
Yeah, brilliant. And then the other thing I was just going to mention, this is supposed to be my running of the week, isn't it?
But you said you did the relays. We'll come back to race review.
I was chatting to Claire just before, and she was saying, oh, like, it's good to do a warm-up. And she was saying, you know, she'd heard that, you know, doing strides and things like that before you start a race can, like, you know, help you run faster, and I guess it prevents injury and stuff. And she was just asking me what I thought. I was like, yeah, I have heard the same, but I don't really know exactly much about it. I was just going to ask you whether the benefits are of doing that before a 5K or something quite quick, you know.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think a warm-up's beneficial to any race, any easy run, any workout session, any hard run, intervals, long run. Warm-up literally kind of some stretches, some jogging, get the muscles loosened up, get the blood pumping. For faster stuff, there's some evidence that suggests doing those short sprints in advance of it kind of gets the body used to the pace that you're going to be running at, or around that pace. Maybe some people might even do the sprints a bit quicker than the pace they're going to be running at. Obviously, you do them in detail for track sessions, don't you? So you're doing the strides.
We were saying that it's at a race, you feel a bit like self-conscious doing it. Where at track, we do it, do notice the benefit of it. So, because we're all sort of doing the same thing around a track, it feels kind of okay.
Yeah.
But when you're at a race and everyone's just standing around, you feel a bit kind of conspicuous, don't
you?
But,
Yeah, so definitely do them. And it's interesting because I had a similar conversation with one of my coaches this week, who's asking, he asked me what are strides because he'd not heard of them before. And I guess there might be people listening who don't know. So I was saying to him, it's like some sprints. Usually, when I say that to the people, I say do 20 seconds, five or six lots of 20 seconds in the middle of an easy run. So you might be doing an easy run, anything, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, and you'll do those five bursts of 20 seconds and then jog for 2 or 3 minutes, do another one. You know, so you space them out at those five sprints. And you're looking at kind of any, I usually say anything like 5K sort of pace, or maybe a bit quicker. That's the sort of pace you want to be, because you don't want to go flat out, all out effort, because you'll probably really struggle on the next one, could be out of breath immediately. But you're looking at kind of 85 to 90% effort. And so definitely they're useful in a warm-up for track. But generally, if you can incorporate them into your weekly routine, like doing it once a week, just choose a run day and say you're always going to do strides, the evidence shows that there's some papers on this, that basically they improve you over time, improve your VO2 max, they can help increase your speed, and they recruit fast twitch fibres. And the other advantage of them is they don't fatigue you in the same way like a track session would, because you're only doing, say you do five lots of 20 seconds, six lots, you're doing maximum 2 minutes of sprinting out of an hour run. That is not going to stop you doing your long run the next day or your interval session the next day. So they're dead easy to fit in, and they kind of help with the speed, with mechanics of you know, getting used to running fast. So they're almost like a bit of a sort of cheat code, I think, of in terms of running. So definitely, I would say to anyone, these are like, they're a great habit to build into a weekly run, any easy run. Also, what I've found is a couple of people who I coach, and this is some of the stuff Stazza John talked about on the coaching course, he's saying if people have never done any speed work, you don't want to chuck them straight into doing intervals like, you know, three times 5 minutes or five times eight or something like that, because it'll be really challenging. So a good way to build people up into speed work, and this might be something someone like Carla does as she gets back to running, is you can start doing strides like five times 20 seconds. Then next week you might do two lots of five times 20. So use strides as a bridge to doing intervals. That's another way they can be used. So
yeah. Cool.
Hope that's helpful, Claire, and to anyone else who's listening. Yeah. So definitely good for warm-ups, but definitely as a training technique as well. And evidence-based will help you.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, and what all other? Right. So back to your running of the week.
Yeah,
so talked about Tuesday relays. What else have you done this week?
And then I went out and did a run on Wednesday. So I did 6 miles easy on Wednesday. Then I had a day off on Thursday again. Then this morning, so Friday morning, I've done 18-mile run. Obviously, I'm doing the ultra
two weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, the 1st of June. So that's kind of the longest run I'm going to do. I don't know if that's sufficient or not, but I just keep thinking, well, I did do a marathon a few weeks ago and I did all the training for that. So hopefully that will be sufficient. But this morning I ran from our house and it's about 6 miles to Stanage Edge, so I went up there and ran along, which I've not been up there in ages. It's really nice day for it. It's quite slow going along there, just I'm not great off-road, really sort of feel like I'm gonna fall over all the time and stuff, so it wasn't like a quick pace or anything like that, but that doesn't really matter at the moment for what I'm training for. And then loop back around to our house, up and down quite a bit on the way. So I've done quite a lot of climbing in that run, so that was 18 miles, and I think it was like 10 minute mile pace, something like that, just a bit over, so that was all right, I think. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So obviously you're going with Mark, which
yes, so I'll be out all day tomorrow.
And so tomorrow morning, well, I'm going to take Jesse to park run. The other two boys, they learnt about his PB last week, and they said that they could beat him.
Easy do faster
Easy
than that.
Beat
Easy.
Him. So we've challenged them.
Let's see if they make it.
I don't think they will.
Make them.
So we'll see. So
see how that goes.
Yeah, we're going to go, hopefully, we're going to go to park run tomorrow, and then I'll do something on Sunday when you're back from
the hard Moors race.
Yeah, yeah. So what about you?
Yeah, interesting. Just before I talk about mine, what you said then about you've done a long run today, running on the terrain you're going to do the race on. I've had conversations with two coaches this week saying exactly the same thing. People a bit worried about paces. I'm saying, like, don't, it's about effort, you know. Mm. Paces are difficult to sustain and follow if you're running off-road up a hill. Mm. And the reason you're running off-road up a hill is because your race is going to be like that. So that's where you've got to kind of start to learn how does it feel and not get too fixated on the pace, I think.
Yeah.
But that takes a bit of time and practice.
Mm.
And then one of the people I coach also, he'd been running through like wooded areas, and I think like the signal had gone his watch. And then I think that was frustrating him because he was putting the effort in, but it wasn't reflected in the paces.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, the watch is useful, and I use mine a lot, and we both do, and lots of people will who are listening. But it's kind of, you got to have a plan B, haven't you? Because what if your watch? I've had times where I've been running and my watch, I've not charged it up; it's just gone off in the middle of a run. So you got to think about, what would I do without that? And knowing how you feel during a long run or an interval is useful, I think, to know. But am I putting the same effort in? So yeah. So then my running of the week. So I've just done all the easy running this week. So I'm still kind of post recovery from my marathon, but also just trying to not do too much this week in readiness for the run I'm going to do with Mark. So I've been out for 4 runs, but all relatively short. So totaling about 3 hours of running, about 25 miles or something this week. And then, yeah, like you say, so leaving early tomorrow morning, 5:10, we get to Filey where Mark starts the race at 8:00 in the morning. And then I think the first half will take him about 10 hours, something like that. So that'll be about 6:00 in the evening. I'll get to sort of the halfway point. It's a bit less than halfway. It's about 52 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We know from when you did it with me, it's about 58 from where I'll join him. And then I'll start running with him. And I think he's got roughly the idea of kind of first 52 miles in about 10 hours, and then the second half will be a bit slower, partly because you get more tired, and also it's more, the second half's hilly. More hilly.
Mm-hmm.
So we think he's, we think he'll probably be going about four miles an hour, 4 to 5 miles an hour, depending on the terrain. So, anything from 12 to 15 minute mile pace. So I'm carbing up, getting myself ready for that. And so we'll start 6:00 at tomorrow, Saturday evening, and then say it took 14 hours, then it'd be done by, I don't know, whatever that would be, to 8:00 the following morning.
Right.
Maths.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'll be good, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying there about the terrain and stuff and what, you and Mark will be doing, I remember it being like there's some bogs and things like that. Sometimes you can't move very quick across some terrain, you can't even get your heart rate high.
No.
Because you're like, it's so
steep.
You have to walk.
Or it's rocky.
Because there's rocks and you have to climb and things like that. So it's just taking all that into consideration and giving yourself a break in it.
Yeah. So I'll report back next week on how it's gone.
Yeah. Good luck, Mark.
I'll see. Shall I try and get, I'll try and get some sort of voice notes from Mark on the way around, but I'm not promising anything. I'm not sure.
It might be funny.
It might, how's it going? I'll just ask him how it's going. He might just go, fine. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So shall we get into our main topics? We want to talk about summer, running over the summer. You touched upon it a little bit. It's warm, hot, and kind of, so what things are in your mind over the next, like, 2-3 months then?
Well, I think there are a few races over the summer, aren't there? So people tend not to do as many races, I don't think. So that can kind of, you've not got as much structure, I think, if you're into doing races and you've got things planned in. There's that, and there's like holidays and things like that that you've got to navigate around, and the kids being off school, obviously, for 6 weeks in the middle of it. And you might be going away, you might be eating more and drinking more and things like that. So Sorry, what was your question?
What are the sorts of things that's on your mind for that summer period?
Yeah,
so fewer that's, races, holidays, you might be eating, drinking more.
So there's all sorts of stuff like that. I think what I've got this year, which I think is going to help me, and I've not done this before, is I've got races that are planned in. So obviously I've got this ultra.
You've done the relay this week.
I've done the relay this week. And also I've got a race in September. So,
and another relay probably in
July.
Of June, start of July.
Yeah, so I think that has helped me this year, because usually when it comes up to summer, I'm like a bit like I haven't really got any targets or challenges and things like that that are on the horizon. I'm probably thinking I'll do something in the autumn when the races start again, you know. But I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really think about it. And I think after you've done a marathon, you can kind of, we touched on this a bit, didn't we, about what you do after you've done a marathon. And I think you can kind of, straight after the marathon, you can kind of, you can carry on a little bit, and then you like lose your motivation a bit, don't you?
You
so
do.
I found that having those races booked in, so I think I did them in January or December or whatever, it's just kept me on track a little bit more. So I found that pretty helpful.
I think just as you're saying on races, I think you're right. I think two things happen. One is there's definitely fewer big organised races. Mm-hmm. The half marathons, the marathons stop. I think, and I suspect the reason for that is like too many risks. You know, if you're running a race June, July, August, and you even see it with like the Leeds Marathon that was last weekend, it was like 22, 23 degrees at the start of the race, you know, and that's in mid-May. So, you know, I suspect race organisers don't really want to take the risk of having big events with thousands of people, risk of people like, you know, heat exhaustion, you know, needing medical import or worse. But what there seems to be is, there are smaller races, like in the club scene. Some of this, I think, is connected to the club scene. So it can be a good opportunity to, like, join a running club and find out what's happening. Like you say, these relays, these aren't things that you're going to find easily by looking on the common race websites, are they?
You know, and you've got to be a member
Facebook
of a club
groups,
to do it.
It's clubs.
Yeah.
And it also, these kind of evening fell races often through the summer.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's a good opportunity to get on the fells without the need for the head torch, all the FRA stuff that through the rest of the year, you can't do a fell race without that.
No.
Well, they kind of become much more accessible to anyone. All you need is like basically a pair of trail shoes, don't you? And you're good to go. So that, I think over summer, that can be a good way of like remotivating yourself by trying running on different terrain. If you're typically a road runner, do some of these off-road fell races. Usually, like, no more than 10K are they, most of them, you know. Midweek, so they're not taking up your weekends and stuff.
Yeah, and it can be quite good fun. I've done a few. Like, I've done Burbage Fell Race. You've done Burbage Fell Race before, haven't you? And I've done Grindleford Fell Race. I think I mentioned it on this podcast, actually, before. And that's a really good fun one, because it's like, you go through water and stuff. It's usually quite warm, and I'm not doing it this year. It sells out really quickly. Lots of these fell races do, but it's only a couple of weeks after we'll have done the ultra, so I wasn't that bothered. But it's the sort of thing you could go and watch. You know, watch people falling over in the river and
have
a
pint of beer afterwards.
So it's really good fun, and like you say, it is probably, maybe it's an opportunity in the summer if you haven't got anything penciled in race wise, you've not got a lot of structure in your running, you can do these things.
And most of them is just turn up, pay on the night, aren't they? You know, maybe things have moved slightly more.
There used to be, I think, a bit more, but I think there's a bit more demand nowadays.
Yeah.
So you need, you
get on the list.
There might
the
be
list
some that you pay on
and
the
And they're
night.
Relatively cheap, aren't they? You're talking races that are like fiver instead of the usual 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 quid
anything
between your budget races like Boston Links through to your premium races like the Manchester Marathon that you would normally pay the top dollar for.
So I
think it's like it is a good opportunity. And often if people are out of structured training, they're probably not doing the speed work and the effort. Well, like a combination of two things, strides, do them every week. Mm-hmm. And some of these races, they're going to mean that you're like not forgetting about your fast running that you've been practicing for months while you've been doing your half marathon or your marathon.
I was just going to say, I don't know how common fell races are away from where we live, you know, because I think...
Well, obviously up in the further north they are, aren't they, in yeah, like the Lake District. And
yeah, but I don't know whether like... You know, because I know they're common in the Peak District and in the Lake
parts
District.
Of the UK hilly enough to...
Well, they are. Obviously, there's off-road routes yeah. and things, but I don't know. But, like, let us know if anyone yeah, knows what the scenes are like. But, like you say, they're kind of the localish things, aren't they, that they just pop up on, you know, maybe on Facebook or the, like, word of mouth. So, yeah, and like you said about joining a running club, it's probably a good opportunity for you to join a running club, isn't it, in the summer. And then you find out more about these things and
yeah, you
can get
do.
Involved in like things that the club organises. Like I mentioned, Andy organises the Rother Valley Relays and it's a lot of hard work and, you know, thanks to Andy for putting yeah. all that hard work in yeah, to arrange exactly, it. But there's yeah. lots of other things that other running clubs arrange. So the next one is Dam Flask Relays. So that's in Sheffield as well, in Bradfield. So that's really nice route, isn't it? Well, it's got a big hill at the end, so yeah. depends your perception
like.
Of it. But it's again, it's like a nice like little village, and you know,
yeah,
summer
and
night,
hang around,
have a pint,
like to sit outside. It's
yeah.
warm.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think that's the other thing with the summer. Like the long days create a lot more opportunities for running that. Like we've talked about it before, haven't we? Like the safety in different ways of running in the dark, the safety around the terrain and being able to see what you're doing, not bumping into people, crossing roads, or if you're off road, you know, tree roots and rocks and all that. And then like personal safety from a perspective of being feeling threatened or intimidated by other people who are out on the streets yeah. and out and about. Well, a lot of that, you know, when it's light from what, 5 a.m. probably till you're talking like 9, 10 p.m, it kind of feels, you know, it feels, well, it is safer to run in terms of daylight visibility mm-hmm. and it feels a bit safer. Well, I think it does. I don't know about you. Do you yeah. feel safer running at 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, in the summer versus 8 o'clock at the evening in kind of winter when it's been dark for like 5 hours by the time you go out?
Yeah, definitely do feel safer. I suppose in the summer, so for instance, like we talked a bit about family life and fitting yeah. things in, and in the summer, our children play cricket.
Yeah.
And one of my running evenings is Wednesday when I take Felix to cricket. And it's yeah. like sort of up on the edge of Sheffield. And I ran on some new trails last week. So while he's doing it, it's like an hour and a half. So it's a really good opportunity to do a run while he's occupied
yeah.
doing that. And it doesn't impact on anything else we're doing as a family. It's just a good use of time. But I did run down some trails and they were like new trails. Like I tend to do this more than you do, don't I? I just go down a trail.
Yeah, I'm too
and like,
scared.
You don't know, where it's going. And I went down a trail. I think, to be fair, I think I have been on it before, but I couldn't really remember. And I didn't really know where I was going or when it was going to come out, whether I was going to like sort of be back in time. But I sort of kept looking at my watch and you know, thinking about where, sort of guessing where I was in relation to where I'd left Felix. And I did start thinking, I'm literally in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. There was no one on these trails. You know, there could have been like some weird murderer appear.
With a load of loose dogs ready, and cows ready to get you.
Yeah. And it did cross my mind a little bit. But obviously I wouldn't even go down there in the dark.
No.
You know, so it's sort of... So yeah, I do feel safer, but...
You can't be complacent either, can you?
No, you can't be complacent.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It is a sort of, and I think probably what I should have done is told you where I was going.
Yeah.
Or like maybe looked at the route first.
Yeah.
And made sure that I knew that where I was. I mean, it's still, you know, you still got to kind of live your life, haven't you? But yeah. So yeah, I do feel like I can do things like that.
You wouldn't, to kind of create some more time in the
yeah.
day, really. Or
yeah,
more,
exactly.
You can put your run in at different times in the day, which then creates time to do other stuff.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention like practical things. Like, I mean, you mentioned it today. You sort of like, through winter, I don't know about you, I'm like, I've hardly been thirsty on any runs because
yeah.
it's... I'm not sweating anywhere near the normal amount I would in warm weather. And I just don't, I've not got a thirst.
Yeah.
You said you were super thirsty today. It's like remembering to go out with like, get the, get the backpack back out, isn't it? And the water bottles and things like that. Sun cream on, you tend to say you're like fair skin, aren't you? So you can burn quite easily. So it's like, but if you're already out there, once you've done, you're not going to run home and get the sun cream once you've already gone out. So it's stuff like that that you've got to think about. And the other thing is, like, sometimes it's an opportunity to buy some new stuff in it. You know, new vest, shorts, hat. I'm into those sunglasses. I can't remember the brand. Is it Good?
Sun God or something, Gooder.
Yeah, I've bought a few pairs of them and they've got all, like, different... They're all different sort of... different style frames and stuff, so you get a new pair of them and, you know.
They're designed for running, aren't they?
They are, like, I can highly recommend them. Yeah, if anyone's listening from Gooder, definitely recommend those. They don't move at all, you know. You can't actually see anything, but... You look good. Yeah. You look good on race photos. Look a lot better on race photos with them and a hat than I did at Boston Marathon, let's put it that way. There's some definite advantages and like practical things to think about in the summer for sure.
Yeah, and I think it can kind of in the UK take you a bit by surprise, can't it? Because it's just it's been really wet. Then last weekend it was really warm.
And then it's cold again.
Then it's rained all week. And then it's warm again today. I wasn't really expecting it to be warm today, so I kind of went out a bit ill prepared. Sort of running kit that I've been wearing for the last 6 months. So I didn't put a jumper on though, you'll be pleased to know. I usually go out with the jumper in like 50 degree heat. Yeah. So I didn't take the jumper. But I was thirsty and I did regret not taking a drink.
And I think, again, this is like we're talking motivation here, aren't we? So, you know, just try and enjoy running in the warm. Don't stress yourself about the pace. I think we've talked about it on a previous episode. Weather impacts pace massively. So when it's hot, you're going to be slower. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the watch too much. Just try and enjoy your running. Mm-hmm. If you can do a few smaller local races, do it. It's a good chance to think about the next race, isn't it? So some of the people I've took on coaching recently, they've got races in October or even one person a race next. They're looking at a marathon next spring. So that you can, if you know that, you can almost enjoy a few months of just kind of doing what you're doing, keeping a little bit of speed work with the strides or the odd race and almost it's keeping yourself ticking over, getting ready for that next bit of training, isn't it? So that can be a bit of a motivator, kind of having a long-term goal.
Yeah, and I guess it can be a time when if you do want to drop back a little bit, it's probably a good time to do it. So in the last few weeks, instead of doing 6 runs a week, I've done 5 runs a week. And, you know, that's kind of, I guess, just having like a bit of a rest in a way, isn't it? You know, and I've just...
Get your mojo back.
Yeah. And I think that I just got sort of a rule of thumb in my head that maybe just one speed work thing a week and a longish run.
Yeah.
Not necessarily mega long, but like maybe sort of around 10 miles if I'm not got any races planned is kind of enough with some easy runs in between. And
And I think you're right because, I guess everyone's different, aren't they, at different stages of the training. You're someone who's got like a good solid base of several years of training. Mm-hmm. Therefore, stepping back for like a few months, it's going to have like no, it's only going to be beneficial. It's going to help you recover, refresh, become re-motivated, help you enjoy your summer, give you a bit more time. Obviously, we talked a bit, didn't we, a few weeks ago about, like, there's a lot going on at home and, you know, feeling like not wanting to be too selfish with our own running plans over and above trying to help the children. You've obviously talked about Felix and his cricket and how you can make that work in terms of time that you would just be sitting watching him so you can fit your running in.
And I think that changes anyone that's got kids probably would agree that if they do activities, it does change quite a lot during the summer. Obviously, they don't do, well, they do cricket nets, but then there's cricket nets or practice plus matches.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts another set of things.
Another
and then
day,
the football maybe stops a bit, but...
The training seems to carry on.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to stop much, but there's not football matches. So I guess you have to when everything around you changes, you have to change your running, don't you, to fit in with all that. And like we spoke about last week or the week before, just about, you know, fitting things in with family and us making sure that we were giving them time and stuff. That kind of, you have to think about that, don't you, in the summer?
Like, yeah.
That if and all those things change, then you have to change the when you go running and stuff and make sure that it fits in.
And it, you know, for anyone who has got kids, the summer holidays comes up and that is like a long chunk of time, isn't it? And you want to enjoy it, don't you? You don't want to stress yourself out thinking, oh, my main priority is when am I going to get my running done? And, you know, like we've talked about, we've got a lot going on with Jesse as well, haven't we, in particular with his dyslexia. So that's like all kind of coming to a bit of a head at the moment, isn't it, in terms of like support we're trying to get him from school and meeting with the educational authority with the school and with his dyslexia teacher, trying to get him the support he needs. And you're right, we enjoy our running for our own physical and mental health, but we've got to make enough time to like support him in particular, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've been thinking about it over the last couple of weeks about, oh, you know, are you, you start thinking, I think, as a parent, are you being selfish and that sort of thing? But I think that it, you've got to have something for yourself, haven't you? Otherwise, you kind of, you know, then you're not good when you're at home, and when you are putting the time in with the kids and like helping them with stuff, you're not feeling yourself, if you know what I mean. And it's not, I think, you know, you can't do it all, can you? But you've got to have a little bit of time to do something for yourself. And I think that it's counterproductive to just say, well, I haven't got time to go running, for instance. It just is counterproductive in the long run, I think.
I think so. And like, we're talking about kids, but it could be anything, couldn't it? Yeah. It could be family members you could be caring for and need to support. It could be friends, could be like a pet or so. It could be anything, couldn't it, that you could always do more for something or for someone else in your life, couldn't you? Could always say, well, I'm not doing enough, and you could always take time away from something you enjoy doing because you think, well, you know, I should be a bit selfless and do that. But like you say, it's sort of, running is, we've all, you know, so many episodes we've talked about the benefits of it, and you'll lose that, won't you? Lose that. So although we're saying over the summer it's a time to, like, you know, take the pressure off yourself, reduce a bit, do some different things, kind of, you want to do it, you want to keep, you don't just want to kind of stop, do you?
And you know, it's for, maybe it's a time more for enjoying it for yourself and that sort of thing. And just, you have to just kind of have a think about when you want to do it, and you know, when they're doing their cricket practice, when, you know, they're asleep in bed, you know, or whatever. Yeah,
that seems to be like later than when we're asleep in bed, so that's quite a challenge. Oh, unless it's in the morning.
No, I mean in the morning, you know, you go out, weekend, if you go before lunchtime, you probably don't see anyone.
Yeah, I have been out on a 2-hour run and got back before Felix or Beck have woken up.
So...
Not Jesse, he's always up.
Yeah, but one of us is here, obviously, in that scenario, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anyone's got any tips about maintaining motivation over the summer, or, you know, any races that they're doing, any fell races and over, around the country or in other countries. Do you do fell races in other countries? You know, other than the UK?
I think they call mountain. I think it depends. It's terminology. Right. I think it's trail running and mountain running.
Okay.
And I talked to Eric a bit about this, and I think so. There's a definite overlap. So I think, you know, maybe not people rolling down hills that you sometimes think of when you type fell running, you know, into Instagram or whatever. But like, I think off road running and with severe elevation for sure. Let us know, runningpartners@outlook.com, get in touch. I think that probably wraps it up, doesn't it, for today. So thanks for listening. Keep sharing it with running friends. We know loads of you do that. We really appreciate it. I think it's probably the easiest way that to get this podcast to other people who might find
it
interesting.
And it is growing a little bit.
It's growing. So we really appreciate everyone's feedback. We love hearing from people, whether you see us, whether you message us on Strava, Instagram, Facebook, or email us direct. We always like it. And we always want new topics and ideas to talk about. So do get in touch. And that's it for today. And we'll be
Yeah, did you have a race too?
Oh, yes, final thing, yeah, a race, yes. So this is one local called the Crosspool Crawl. So it is on the 3rd of July, 6:30. It's a fundraiser for the children's school, the junior school where the children, well, Jessie still goes, the other two went to it. And it's also raises money for a local nominated charity as well. So appreciate not everyone listening to this will be travelling from across the world to Sheffield to do it. But if you are in the area, it's an evening race. So this is a perfect example of what we've talked about.
Yeah.
I think it's about 4.5 miles. Mm-hmm. Like really, I think it's like £10 to enter.
Yeah.
Finishes at a pub, have a drink after.
Some road, some off-road.
Yeah, a bit of a hill, but not much. A little bit undulating. Like really nice atmosphere. And you know that your money's going to a good cause.
Yeah.
So I'll put a link to how you can enter in the show notes. But you can find it on Facebook as well. So I'll put a link to that. If you search Crosspool Crawl.
And what date is it on?
It is the 3rd of July, which I think is a Wednesday evening, 6:30.
Right. Cool.
All right. Brill. All right. So we'll be back next week with another episode.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please leave us a rating or review and share the podcast to friends and family to help us build the Running Partners community. You can email us at runningpartners@outlook.com with any questions, feedback, race results, topic suggestions or anything else. Also email us if you would like to find out more about the running coaching that I offer. Simply put coaching query in the email subject and I'll get right back to you. And check out my website, paulgriffithsrunningcoach.com, for more info. You can find us both on Instagram at 26.2 and Griff's Running, as well as on Strava and Facebook, and all the links are in the show notes. We will be back every Monday with a new episode, so see you then.